Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us. It's nice to be back in the studio after an amazing day at the St. Charles Ruler Foods yesterday. It's always wonderful to be a part of that and to be able to participate in helping people with you. And you guys really make that possible. We had over $7,000 raised from people who brought in money and were like, can Ryan shop with us? And Ryan said, absolutely.
I did. I did multiple times yesterday.
Yes, you did. It was coming in so fast and furious that we had to make multiple trips into the store.
Yeah.
Steve Thomas from Steve Thomas Customs Homes came in and gave us a fat amount of money. And we had, I don't know how many of these people want me to say their names, but we had multiple four-figure donations at one time.
Yeah.
To the tune of over $7,000. That came in just in person. And we also have, still, we're going to run this through, I think tomorrow we'll probably try to push this. We had online a $5,000 goal to raise funds directly to help the St. Louis Area Food Bank. That is up right now. And we're at 17% there, $875 that came in from people who are listening who couldn't make it in. So if you're one of those people, you heard about it, you thought you were going to get out to Ruler Foods yesterday and you haven't yet, I mean, our goal on here was $5,000. I don't know who gave us that target. We did raise over $5,000 already, mm-hmm. So I feel pretty good about that. But if we could get to $3,000, which would be 60% of our online goal, we could say, because it's true, that we raised over $10,000 plus all of the donations that were brought in by people who went in and actually shopped for themselves.
Yeah, I think that goal is probably based on previous years, which means that every year you guys are doing better.
Yeah, I think we've overachieved so far, but I want to be an overachiever.
It was cool. I mean, yesterday was really neat. I think in the 12 o'clock hour, we, as usual, were going, okay, you know, we're keeping pretty good pace here. And then 1 o'clock hit, and people were coming in that lobby. I think in 2 o'clock we had like a full studio audience in there.
Yeah,
and people waving money like it was Jean-Claude Van Damme blood sport, you know, like
in the streets. Exactly what I was thinking.
You know the scenes.
I know this is shocking, but no, I don't. But I assume that there are more people out there who know what you're talking about,
yeah.
And that's what counts.
They'll know. It's when Jean-Claude Van Damme does street fights in blood sport.
All I know that he does is the splits.
He does that, I think, several times, probably
Go ahead,
every film.
Show us.
Oh, no, it's not part of my rider. It's part of his that he has to do. Even in like a family film, he's like, I gotta do the splits. But there was a lot of people there, and everybody bringing different amounts. You know, some people brought in the thousands of dollars. Other people, you know, dropping a five just because they were walking into Ruler and putting. I think we're not even mentioning all the food that was in the bins. You know, that we're talking about the money that we were able to buy food with, but a lot of people were just bringing canned goods and foods and filling up those bins too. So,
tell me about because the money that came in was significant enough that we wanted to be pretty smart with how we allocated that money to help the food bank in the way the food bank felt would be the most helpful. Meredith came out. She's a president of the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Can you tell? Can you kind of give us an overarching view of what we were able to buy with those funds?
I can give you a sort of a big picture because I didn't.
Did we buy pallets?
We did, and that's the problem is that a lot of the pallets that we bought at the very end, they just kept those in the back of Ruler because they're going to have food trucks come.
Yeah.
And so there was no need for us to unpack everything to put it in the bins just to show you, hey, look at this.
It's actually easier for everybody.
Yes.
The food bank people, the Ruler Foods people, the people who would have to stock the shelves that we would empty. Since we've done this enough, we know, like, what's the biggest bang for our buck in the way that helps the food bank the most? And what a blessing to be able to go be like, we'll take that pallet.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we started was there was a pallet of food that was, I don't know, roughly 6 by 6 by 6, if you want to make it a box, of different foods. Most of it was like granola bars, peanut butter, some meats, like meat sausages and stuff. And we bought almost all of that pretty much right away. Like the 12 o'clock hour, that was gone. So if you're talking about the total, if I had to put it in terms of pallets, not grocery carts, it would have been dozens and dozens and dozens. Yeah. So I don't really know how to quantify that. But if we're putting it in pallets, I'd say probably 3 or 4 pallets of food, which is a ton of food.
That's so great. And we're honored to be a part of it. Whatever, the Ruler Foods partnership with the Annie Fry Show stemmed out of our involvement with the diaper drive and Princess Storm over at Hot 104.1. And after that, they're like, Annie, we think that you guys work really well together. And I was like, are you sure? And once we started working together, it was like, gosh, we should have been doing this sooner. And to get everybody out to go to Ruler Foods, it's so great to be able to partner with people who love their community and want to support it that
and
way.
I thought yesterday's poll question was good. You know, how you feeling, basically, is Trump's win affecting this, you know? And we just saw so many people willing to come out and give and just wanted to be a part of something bigger. And you know, it was really neat, Annie. It was right when we were closing things up. We had kind of put everything away. We were unpacking, you know, doing the broadcast, putting it away and all that. And a guy walked by and he goes, oh man, I heard you guys talking on the radio. I didn't realize you'd be at this Ruler Foods.
Oh yeah.
And he goes, will you still accept money? And I said, well, yeah, we could still go buy something and put it in the last bin that was there. So we did. And he goes, oh man, I just think that this is so necessary. And he, to me, and I'm totally labeling him, he didn't look like Mr. Monopoly walking in. Like, he's like, oh, here's the 20. It looked like he was like, you know what? This meant a lot to him. I'm going to give you 20 because I'm blessed. I think he even said this.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. I want to give you $20 because I know there's somebody else out there who is not as blessed as I am to be able to come and grocery shop as easily as I can. Here you go.
Yeah. You also don't know the people who are or are not using these pantries. And you never know if you're going to be somebody who is out there trying to use, you know, this type of a service. It doesn't, you don't know how those things are going to shake out. And it's important to be able to humble yourself. I have this on the top post of my X file as a reminder to me, be humble or be humbled. Because that's kind of the way I've noticed my life going. And anytime it feels like you know what, I think I got this figured out. Life's always like, sit down and shut up. Aww. So really honored to be a part of it. And if you're interested in still supporting it, if you weren't able to, we've got people who are coming to this link that you can find on the Annie Fry YouTube description. It's located in there. You can click directly into it. We're going to talk about the drones a little bit more today. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, whose drones? Iran/China, the United States government, aliens, or something else? And I have a question we should determine right now. Does a government contractor, does a private entity testing out technology to sell to our government or somebody else's government, is that something else? That's something else, isn't it? Or is that the U.S. government?
If the government is aware of it, I would put under the category of government. Because that's the question is, like, who is in charge of this? That's what I would say.
Do you have a conviction on where these drones are coming from?
Yeah, well, right now, just based on what I've read, I would say Iran. I don't trust what the White House is saying about this at all.
You think that the Pentagon is going to come out and just openly say what is taking place here, and it's going to, you're not just going to take the word for it?
You know, as somebody who almost always just trusts the government, this is a rare instance in which I'm going to say, I don't know that they're just giving us the truth.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to what the Pentagon had to say about it. Jen.
Sabrina, can you tell me what the Pentagon is doing to address this issue of drone sightings over New Jersey? It's near sensitive installations. The FBI is involved. What is the Pentagon doing?
Sure. So at this time, so aware of those drone sightings that have been reported, at this time, we have no evidence that these activities are coming from a foreign entity or the work of an adversary. We're going to continue to monitor what is happening, but, you know, at no point were our installations threatened when this activity was occurring.
Can you rule out that these are American drones or U.S. military drones?
These are not U.S. military drones. Again, this is being investigated by local law enforcement. What our initial assessment here is that these are not drones or activities coming from a foreign entity or adversary.
Representative Jeff Van Drew, who is a Republican from New Jersey, was just on the air saying that Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones, and that that mothership is off the coast of the east coast of the United States. Is there any truth to that?
There is not any truth to that. There is no Iranian ship off the coast of the United States, and there's no so-called mothership launching drones towards the United States.
Who doesn't hear mothership and think in this guy? You did too.
No, I didn't.
Yesterday you advocated for ship in the sky.
No, well, I mean, for fun, but the first thing I thought of was that it was some sort of aircraft carrier that was launching these things.
I think a lot of people hear mothership and they think, what a mothership is an alien mom
yes.
that disperses alien little ships. And it's because of the historical movie Independence Day.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Which is essentially that. There's a mothership, there's a hive, and then there's a bunch of little guys who Will Smith, we all know how well he is at fighting and slapping, goes out and takes care of business. What's he doing these days?
He's just taking a little time to focus on his personal life, I think. Actually, he was just in something. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, because when the Smiths focus on their personal lives, it's really private.
Yeah, they just want to, they don't want anybody to know what's going on.
He's got to keep those things at the kitchen table, not the red table.
I wish I could remember what movie. I'm looking it up. Oh, he was just in the new Bad Boys with Martin Lawrence.
That's about right.
That might have been
never seen a Bad Boys movie.
Before the incident, I don't know. He hasn't done as much since then, I know that.
I think he's kind of a pariah in Hollywood. Because it seems like the comedians, my husband and I went the weekend before Thanksgiving. We took a weekend trip. We were kind of like in between sports seasons, and so it was when things were a little more calm. And we went to Florida, and we pretty much watched Netflix.
Okay.
When we could, and we watched all of the different things on Netflix that we can't watch when our kids are around. We watched Hillbilly Elegy, which was an interesting experience, but we watched a ton of comedy specials. And those people all have something to say about Will Smith.
Do they?
Oh, yes.
Really?
They're not. The comedy world was not okay with it. And I look at Will Smith and think that when you think of like a fall from grace, from he was such a golden boy, like an American A-list Hollywood movie star golden boy. And now you either hate him or you feel sorry for him.
Yeah, he was really too the epitome of A-list, not just because of an actor, but he could just do any project he wanted. He had his own production company. They could get anything made that they wanted to make. And I don't know if they're doing anything right now.
Yeah, I don't know. But if we need to fight the alien overlords, we'll have to get him back in.
Yeah, he can come and slap him.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Slap him around.
The aliens are like, you guys suck. This is not even a hard...
That's what the drones get for not keeping his wife's name out their mouth.
We're going to take a quick break. Wouldn't it be funny if the aliens came here just to insult Jada Pinkett Smith? Man, you picked the wrong guy today!
Oh, no, you didn't.
What are the odds? Big news coming out of Washington, D.C. Fox News reports that the Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz said that there were more than two dozen confidential human sources in the crowd on January 6th.
Wow.
But only three were assigned by the FBI to present for the event, while stressing that none of the sources were authorized or directed by the Bureau to, quote, break the law or, quote, encourage others to commit illegal acts. Well, that's comforting.
Well, it comes out now, too.
Yeah, we sent him there, but we didn't tell him to do that.
Good thing we did a commission on this for a year and a half, and that didn't come out.
Horowitz on Thursday, today, released his highly anticipated report on the FBI's handling of its confidential human sources and intelligence collection efforts in the lead-up to January 6th electoral certification. Here's the quote. Today's report also details our findings regarding FBI CHSs who were confidential human sources who were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. According to the report, a review determined that none of these FBI confidential human sources was authorized by the FBI to enter the Capitol or a restricted area or to otherwise break the law on January 6th. Nor was any CHS directed by the FBI to encourage others to commit illegal acts on January 6th. According to Fox News, the report revealed that the FBI had a minor supporting role in responding on January 6th, largely because the event was not deemed at the highest security level by the Department of Homeland Security. They were busy policing Catholic churches, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Horowitz, though, said the FBI took significant and appropriate steps to prepare for that role. According to the report, there were a total of 26 confidential human sources in the crowd that day, but only three of them were assigned by the Bureau to be there. One of the three confidential human sources tasked by the FBI to attend the rally entered the Capitol building. One of them did. While the other two entered the restricted area around the Capitol. If a confidential human source is directed to be at a certain event, they are paid by the FBI for their time. Horowitz stressed that no sources were encouraged or authorized by the FBI to enter the Capitol or any restricted area, and stressed that they were not encouraged or authorized to commit any illegal acts. 23 of the confidential human sources present on January 6th came to Washington, D.C., to the Capitol on their own. Of that group, three entered the Capitol during the riot, and an additional 11 sources entered the restricted area around the Capitol. Is Ray Epps one of them?
He would have to be.
Answer that. If he's not, why aren't you saying that right now? I mean, he's the most obvious, correct?
Yes, he's the one we know the name.
Yeah, he's kind of the face of CHS's.
What this is saying is, the FBI hired a whole bunch of people who went and broke the law, and then they didn't do anything about it.
Well, we don't know that they broke the law.
Well, they were inciting.
Yeah, we don't know that. But there's a funny line that is drawn as to what was law breaking in this event. Because according to this, three of them went in. Right? Isn't that what they're saying? Entered restricted areas? I'm going to see if Cully Stimson has anything to say on this. This report just came out at the top of the hour, so I'm going to ask him about that. He is filling in for Hans von Spakovsky today, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Cully Stimson will be with us next. We've got a pretty packed show for you. We're going to hope to connect to Tyrus at 1 o'clock, and the Gutfeld show's been very busy right now because Gutfeld and his wife had a baby, which is pretty crazy. They kept that a really, really good secret. So I know a lot of the people who... Dana Perino is hosting tonight, so we'll see if we can connect with Tyrus at 105. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg at 125. And Todd Sivia with estate questions, trust questions, wills, powers of attorney. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask Todd Sivia of Sivia Law, he's going to be with us at 205 to answer your questions on the air. So you can make them vague or you can make them specific, but send them in the Annie Fry YouTube chat. Let's take a break and we'll get to Cully Stimson. We'll talk about that, but we're also going to talk about Joe Biden's pardons. And here's a question. Can Joe Biden pardon all of the illegal immigrants who entered here illegally? And if he could, what would happen after that? We'll be right back.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
President Biden announced that he's commuting the sentences of roughly 1,500 nonviolent offenders who were released from prison and placed on home confinement during COVID. He is pardoning 39 Americans convicted of nonviolent crimes. Savannah, that is the biggest single day act of clemency in modern history.
Maybe he's just trying to take some of the pressure off of Hunter after pardoning Hunter so early. Again, that early pardon of Hunter probably had something to do with trying to beat the sentencing in those two trials that Hunter Biden was facing. But now we have a whole slew of nearly 1,500 sentences that have been commuted and pardoning 39 more people. What do we make of this? Let's talk to our friend Cully Stimson back here on the Annie Fry Show with us. Cully, welcome back. It's always good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. The pardons that you've seen today from Joe Biden, what's your thoughts on his choice to pardon and commute these sentences at this time in the remainder of his presidency?
Well, he's flexing what little muscle he has left. He's doing so under the plenary pardon power granted to him by the Constitution. And, you know, outgoing presidents who are no longer accountable to the electorate and basically immune from congressional oversight are essentially freed from the political restraint on their behavior. So they use the pardon power. Think of, you know, Clinton when he pardoned Mark Rich, et cetera. So I don't think this is going to be the last we're going to hear from Biden in pardons.
One of the questions, the big questions that's swirling around in my head is when we listen to Donald Trump talk about his day one initiatives, the border and energy seem to be, I heard today he's going to sign 25 executive orders on day one, and they're going to center around the border and energy. Of course, we're talking a lot about mass deportations. Does the president have the ability to pardon non-citizens for entering this country illegally? Is there any restriction on who the president can pardon based on their status as a citizen in this country?
Yeah. So first off, and I knew you were going to ask the question, so I looked it up. There's no Supreme Court decision on point, but there is some settled law in this area. So any president can pardon a person for a federal offense that they did or might have committed, including reentry into the country in violation of criminal law. But remember, the president cannot pardon anyone for a civil wrong. So being in the country unlawful itself is not a crime. So Biden can't use his pardon power to go after people who have committed civil wrongs like illegal aliens. But if they've left the country and then reentered, that's a federal crime, and he can pardon them. Now, he would suffer massive blowback for that, and how he would identify them is a different sort of prudential question. So I think you got to read the pardon power and the take care clauses of the Constitution together. So yes, he has the power to pardon, but he also has to take care that the law is faithfully enforced. So I'm not sure he's going to care much about that on his way out the door.
He's making some pretty bold moves when he chooses to make those moves.
Right. But again, I don't think he's done. I just don't think he's done. I don't think he cares now. I mean, he lied to the American people. Everyone knew he was lying when he said he wasn't going to pardon his son. He did it anyway. And so I don't think he's done here.
Cully, this is Ryan Wiggins. I got a real question about the the way this idea of a preemptive pardon has come about. I've never heard of this before. I don't know if this has ever happened before. But is it possible to preemptively pardon somebody from a crime they haven't necessarily been convicted of yet?
Well, Biden thinks so. He did that with his son. He said any crime he had committed or may have committed. So maybe that falls into that sort of nebulous zone. But typically, you know, the pardon power extends, at least as it's been used in the past, to a federal offenses that they did commit or might have committed. And I think, you know, to be Clintonian on you, it matters what the word if, you know, is. Here, it matters what the word might be.
Okay.
And so, I don't want to play semantic differences, but I think he could argue that the might means somebody could argue that they did, and therefore I'm going to immunize them from future federal prosecution. Mm.
We're speaking with Cully Stimson, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Check out his book, Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities. I wanted to ask you about that pardon power. And I don't know if you got to watch the whole interview with Meet the Press that Donald Trump gave this past weekend. But there was discussion about pardons there. And Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Kristen Welker was asking these questions. And one of them was, if Donald Trump would accept a pardon from Joe Biden, are there any court cases that still exist, any lawfare that Donald Trump is fending off right now that could be fall under the guise of a presidential pardon?
Yeah, well, remember, the president only has the constitutional authority to pardon somebody for a federal offense, not state court offenses. So the New York case and the Georgia case are just out of the question. Biden does not have the authority under the Constitution to pardon Trump for either of those. And it's also important to think about the procedural posture of the federal cases that remain. The Justice Department has moved to dismiss the cases. The judge has granted the dismissal, but in their motion to dismiss, the language they used was very squirrely. It basically said, well, we think we had a strong case. We stand behind the facts in the case, but it's off the legal counsel policy not to prosecute a sitting president. Mm. That leaves you in legal limbo. That leaves you in the, okay, I guess we're going to just count on the statute of limitations running, and therefore they won't be able to bring it up, or are they going to come back later if the Democrats get in power and say, well, that time period when we put the case on ice, it was told, it stopped the clock running, and therefore we can bring it back. So Trump could Biden could pardon Trump just now for those federal cases that remain. I got to wonder whether Trump would say, you know what? I see your pardon, but I don't want your damn pardon.
Yeah, that was kind of his sentiment there. He's like, why do I need a pardon? I haven't done anything wrong.
Right. Which he's maintained all along. As a legal matter, it would put it to bed forever. But he may just want to leave it out there to remind people what they did to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's.
And Biden hasn't said anything about pardoning Trump for that. If any of the federal offenses. So it may be a hypothetical discussion.
Yeah, for certain. Cully Stimson speaking with us right now. I assume that you know way more about this than I do. I don't know how well studied or interested you've been in this conversation so far that has taken place. Circling birthright citizenship. The 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. My understanding is that constitutional scholars have argued whether or not that applies to people who come here illegally, have a baby as soon as they cross the border, that child should be a citizen of the United States of America. Do you think that there is a constitutional argument as to whether or not that's what was intended by the 14th Amendment?
100%. There's an ongoing legal debate. I think one of the top scholars who say that Trump can end universal birthright citizenship and the Constitution never requirement is Amy Swearer, who's a colleague of mine here in the Legal Center at Heritage. And she has a piece that just came out on the Daily Signal, but it references a law review article and two very, very long Heritage legal memos that sort of talk about the history of the 14th Amendment citizenship clause. And how it doesn't amount to automatic universal birthright citizenship at the time it was ratified, and how only in recent years have practice sort of assumed that automatic citizenship was bestowed upon people if they came here. And so I encourage your folks to read her scholarship, Understanding the Purpose of the Citizenship Clause. You can go to the Daily Signal and read her stuff. But Amy Swearer is one of the people on this side of the argument that makes a compelling case. Now, there are really great legal scholars on the other side, like Judge Jim Ho, who just from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Texas, who takes the opposite opinion. So it's an ongoing legal debate, and one that I think we're going to have to become a little more steeped in and conversant in, because if Trump follows through on his promise, this is going to be a topic next year.
Has that question been challenged in the courts yet to any measurable degree?
No, not really. And, you know, I think if you listen to Trump during that interview, he said he was thinking about doing it by executive order in his first term. But then because COVID came up, that sort of focused all his attention on that. And he said, and I think he's right, that, you know, there's a real debate even within the conservative legal movement about whether you have to do it by a constitutional amendment. Or what other means you have to do it by. So if he tries to do it by executive order, it'll be challenged. Constitutional amendments are hard, but not impossible to get done. So we'll see which method they try to use.
Cully, you talked about talking to your colleagues at Heritage in the legal realm. Is there ever been a time like this where you're constantly having to go back and ask questions? It seems like around every corner is a new question that we've had to face that maybe we haven't really done this before in America. You know, are the laws standing up the way that they should? Are you happy with where we are?
One of the my favorite quotes from the founder of the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Ed Fulmer, who's a dear friend, said and says all the time is, there's no permanent victories and there's no permanent defeats in Washington, just permanent battles. And the battles are oftentimes the same battles. And he's right. I mean, this time is unique, but it is every time is unique. And a lot of the times the arguments that are being made now, you can go back to previous scholarship or previous arguments or previous legislation or harken back to other court cases where an aspect of this argument was made. Like I've been following the U.S. Naval Academy case brought about their use of race in admissions. And it was tried here in Baltimore just a few weeks ago. The judge ruled that the Naval Academy can use race in admissions and says that the Harvard and UNC cases where students were fair admission won are not applicable because the U.S. military has a national security exemption, essentially. And we've seen that argument, and I've been writing about it in the Daily Signal, in other contexts. So I think a lot of what we're seeing today is informed by what's happened in the past. This president is sui generis. He's unique, obviously. And so there are going to be new legal arguments and new policy positions pushed. I think DOGE alone, the DOGE department, the DOGE effort is going to bring up a lot of interesting legal issues. I think this mass repatriation effort is going to bring up a lot of interesting legal challenges. But a lot of them are informed by the past.
Well, we're going to continue to watch. I think there's going to be some very interesting legal developments over the next the remainder of Joe Biden's presidency, certainly as he continues to issue these pardons. But of course, when Donald Trump comes in and challenges the status quo, that's when the court system generally gets involved and we get some clarity on some of these issues. But we appreciate your clarity so far, Cully Stimson. Thanks for being with us today. We're going to have you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, a former local, state, federal, and military prosecutor. And you can check out his book, Rogue Prosecutors, How Radical Soros Lawyers Are Destroying America's Communities. Quick break. When we come back, Weekend's America, you want to give us a little tease on what we will be regaled with?
You know how I care about you. We want to look
up
at...
in your mouth right now?
What no.
Who...
We want to make sure that when you go to Christmas parties and holiday parties, that you're doing it right. So we have the 10 do's and don'ts of partying this Christmas season.
I've been to so many parties where afterwards you asked questions. I can't wait to hear what comes next. Weekend's America on the Annie Fry Show. Don't go away. Before we get to Weekend's America, Brad... I need to know if Ethan knows who Pee Wee Herman is.
Do you know what this is?
And if you know what Pee Wee Herman is, do you know him as an actor or as a criminal?
The name kind of sounds familiar.
The name kind of sounds familiar.
Do you know Paul Reubens' work at all?
Paul Reubens.
Who's Paul Reubens?
Okay.
Pee Wee Herman? Tell me what you know about Pee Wee Herman.
That his name is Pee.
You don't know Pee Wee Herman?
No. Like,
so you don't
like,
know the tequila
it's one
dance.
Of those things that, like, if you told me probably what he was, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that checks out. But all I don't right.
But you know the name and that's it? Do you even know the name?
The name sounds familiar.
Wow.
This is, on a scale of 0 to 10, this is
I know Pee Wee Reese better than Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, that's a deep cut.
He's a one.
Okay.
Anywho.
He's a baseball player.
Wiggins America?
Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The 10 do's and don'ts of going to Christmas parties. We don't want you to fall flat on your face. And if you don't, if you listen to this and you go, oh man, that's a good tip, tell somebody about the podcast because you want everybody at the party to follow the rules too.
Brett, how comfortable and acclimated do you feel walking into a party? How ready to party are you? How well do you think you do at parties?
I guess that really just depends on how well I know the people. If I know the people, I'm ready to go. If I don't know the people, it takes me probably 10 to 15 minutes to kind of feel them out to know how ready to go I should be.
So on a scale of 0 to 10, you're how good at going to parties?
7.
Ethan?
Oh, I'm like an 11. Give me a brewski and I'm good to go.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How about some tequila?
Oh, that's great.
Ryan, what about you?
Oh, I'm in the same camp as Ethan. Like, you want to be...
Ethan! Ethan?
Man, I'm having trouble today.
We already had
I might
tequila.
Be drunk.
Did you walk by some alcohol?
He found the desk vodka.
Yeah, he didn't know that you could do this, but Ryan can get a contact high from alcohol. He just
Mark
has
Cox
to be
has
near.
A bourbon podcast, yeah. And I was uploading it today, and I got drunk.
I would put me
anyway.
At,
Ethan,
I'd put me at about a 3.
You're not like a party animal.
Everybody says it, but I just don't feel it. No,
well,
I'm not.
This is for you, then.
A 3 is like the level I'm willing to push myself to.
Actually, with the do's and don'ts, is this more of a list for people like yourself, or is this more of a list for people like Ethan, who already know how to party, but maybe they're breaking the rules?
Maybe you need to rein it in a little bit. Maybe
no,
I need to push it a little bit.
I wouldn't say that I go like... crazy. I'm just saying like it's not difficult. I don't struggle with feeling uncomfortable.
You're
like,
full on extrovert.
Yes, I am.
Ryan?
Number one. Do RSVP. Failing to RSVP is a major faux pas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's for parties that are RSVP, though. You know, if it's a
parties.
Yeah.
Maybe what this is telling
college
you
party.
Is that you should always let people know that you're coming.
I think so.
Be you sure when you RSVP.
Ryan, when you go to college parties, you don't RSVP anymore?
I write my name on the solo cup and I show them at the door.
With your $20 bill? How much does a solo cup at a kegger cost these days?
Good question. Don't know. It was like $5 when I was in college.
I don't think it's $5 anymore.
It's definitely way more now.
Is it above 10?
It probably depends on where you go. Yeah, it probably depends on where you go. Because I know I can tell you at some schools it for sure is $20.
So
yeah.
Like the Red Solo Cup was your price of entry. You
yeah.
Like give.
Oh, you don't have to pay per beer. You pay for the cup.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but then you got to stay at that party because if you party
to.
Hop.
That not everybody is
pay.
In there calculating
Ryan,
the
Ryan,
green to dollar ratio.
Ryan, I did.
The
that's how many college parties I've been to. I didn't know about the
Ryan
Red Solo Cup.
Ryan has his green visor on and his calculator with the paper
hop?
Strip on it.
I tell you what, man. I went to Carbondale and you could just walk up the street.
That's
Friday
all
night,
they
just
do.
Walk down the street. That's it.
I've heard about Carbondale.
I went to a party once in Carbondale in college. First, it was my new roommate. We went, let's just walk around and get to know each other. We'll just walk around and do parties. And we walked into one and we sat there. We're just kind of like getting to know each other because we were going to be living together for a semester. And I didn't know the guy. And we sat on this couch for about an hour or so, probably 2 hours. And by the end of the beginning, we were just sitting at the college party. By the end,
you were married.
I was like, oh my gosh, we're at a rave. We didn't know it, but we were.
That's the Dirty Dale for you.
Yuck. Oh, but we did it all.
RSVP to those
all.
Keggers. That's what you heard it here first.
We did, well, not the drugs.
This
I didn't mean
this
all
is like the
drugs.
Oldest man advice ever. Go
yeah,
on.
What I meant was the bagel carts. I don't know if you ever heard of those down there, but that's doing it all in Carbondale. Number two, don't show up empty handed. Looking for a surefire way to be a good guest? Bring something besides yourself to the party.
Yeah, but you got to make sure you don't bring something that the host is providing and upstage the host.
That's true. Do you remember what I brought to your last party, which was the election?
No.
I think.
I might remember when you say it.
It was a bag of Three Musketeers.
think it, yes, it was, and it was for you.
Well, I mean, it was for anybody, no, but I ended up eating most of them.
You like kept them.
No, I did not.
I didn't even know you had them.
We provided
dinner.
They
were there for anyone. Yeah,
You didn't tell anyone else until the night was almost over.
Well, because they were almost gone.
Three left in a pile of empty wrappers. Yeah. Anybody want one?
Yeah.
I still am thinking of this as a college party. I commit just like a Tupperware, walking up with a Tupperware of like lasagna.
Can you let me in? I brought a casserole.
BKD says, when I was in college, the girls usually got in free. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Still do.
Yes, they did. Not at my parties.
And they should.
That makes sense.
Dude, dress to impress. Whether your host wants you to show up in costume or get gussied up in a sequined dress or suit, follow the dress code.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You said yesterday, didn't you say yesterday, is it better to be overdressed or underdressed?
Uh-huh.
Always better to be the best dressed person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mistake that you can live past.
Yeah. Overdressed like come as Popeye. Right, Ethan? Number four, don't assume you can bring...
You're so awful.
Don't assume you can bring a plus one. So don't just assume
you
can bring your spouse or
somebody
else.
You don't ever show up and just assume that you get to bring your significant other, especially if you're talking about a bigger party. You need to know, you need to have, it needs to be, the offer needs to be extended to you. I would say even before you're like, hey, can I bring my friend or whatever?
I'm also thinking about this from a wedding perspective, because that didn't happen that long ago for me. So some of this is like, oh, that definitely applies. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it implied, though, that if you don't say just you, that there is going to be a plus one? Don't you need to delineate that ahead of time?
If the invitation is to Ryan Wiggins, then it's to you.
But shouldn't you, as the host, say something on the invitation?
Don't bring your wife?
Bring your wife.
No.
No.
If it's to Mr. Ryan Wiggins, that's for you. If it's to Mr. and Mrs. Ryan Wiggins, if it's to Mr. Ryan Wiggins and guest, that's when you've been extended the invite. But to be like, hey, can I bring my XYZ? If it's a larger scale party, if it's like a dinner party and it's with four couples and you're super close, I think that's a different situation. This is for when... It's a larger thing than that.
But that is delineated then, because you're saying Mr. and Mrs. So it
is. Yes. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. or Mr. Ryan Wiggins and guest.
Yeah.
That is an invitation to both of you. If it just says Mr. Ryan Wiggins, the extended invitation is to you.
Thus far for election parties, I have told Katie, why don't you come? And she never does. So I'm glad, because that was always just an
election parties at my house.
Yeah.
Well, she comes over all the time.
Is that where she's at?
Mm-hmm.
Number five.
We're making plans.
Do arrive...
Dogs.
Listen to this. Do arrive fashionably late. Showing up right on time, or worse yet, early, is a no-no.
Early is bad.
Mm-hmm. Early is bad. I understand that.
That's why you never show up on time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I tell my bosses.
So at Thanksgiving this past year, I got to be careful with this.
They're in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, different market. So at Thanksgiving this year...
We are worldwide, Ethan.
Okay, easy. See what you did, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
At Thanksgiving this year, a lot of stress. Got to get the turkey ready. Everything's crammer. I don't know if we're going to be able to eat on time. And everyone's supposed to be coming over at 2. And at 1:43, a white Mercedes pulls up. Grandma and Grandpa are here! Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
The panic just went through the roof for Mom.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They survived, but it was like
in
those 30 seconds, you would have thought that the entire house was crumbling down.
If you're coming to my house and I'm having people over, you have to understand that I am cleaning something.
Uh-huh.
While you're knocking on the door.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
But that's everybody.
I think that's specifically with kids. Because I'm cleaning things up and they're going behind me making messes.
Yes.
I read on the internet in a meme one time, cleaning your house with kids is like brushing your teeth while you're eating Oreos, and I've never seen something more true in my life.
That's very true.
So if you show up 10 or 15 minutes early and you're like, oh, I'll just come in and help. It's like, I don't want you to see what you're walking into. You don't know what you're walking into. You don't even know. You don't understand.
My wife is so glad whenever we come over that, like, whenever we came to see the puppy the other day.
Don't be awful to me right now.
I'm not.
Your house was a mess and you didn't care.
No, she's just glad that she's like, we deal with it. You have kids. We have kids.
Four kids and two dogs.
It's life. Because so many places you go, it's like spit shine. It's impossible.
Yeah. There's an element of tidy that you try to have. You can, if you have a house full of kids like that, you always know how far away you are from having the super clean house, and it's how far away you get from that to get it back to like, oh, I could really clean this thing in a day if I needed to. I guess I don't know what I'll do when I don't have kids. What? Will it just be clean all the time?
Yeah, it will.
Oh, man.
I think that's the way it is.
Oh, man.
Pretty boring.
Tyrus, when we come back, don't go away.